not at this point. We're not going to start with the video. We're just going to wrap up. Do you?
No.
Okay. We're just going to wrap up with the one set of slides from last week that we didn't quite get to the end of. And let me just go to where we left off.
Is that strength?
Yes.
11.
We're finishing up the strength.
Right, because I did mine, I guess, at home.
There we go. We were talking about how we're going to be looking at these five areas. And again, if you put this in the context of the entire book, in the entire concept of this life calling, again, you have the foundational values first. What is it that we believe and why? And then you have how are we uniquely designed? And then we're going to finish with personal mission. How does this all translate into an outward expression to others in a way that God would intend for our life calling to be a blessing to others? So we are at this fun little middle part where we get to talk about our unique design. And the first that we'll be getting into today is our physical strengths. But before we do that, just to wrap up kind of this broad view of the strengths domains. And I think he says this later, but just in case I forget. Even with the model on the front where you have the three spheres and where they overlap is where you find this sense of life calling. In the same way, there's nobody who is entirely only strong in one area. To the neglect of all the others. I think it's safe to say that everybody has, we have strength and we're, it should be a holistic approach, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so our strengths really aren't just limited to one or the other. So anyway, going along with what we have up here at the top, I know I mentioned this earlier, but the way that he defines strengths, again, it's not just things that we're like, oh, I'm good at this. There's oftentimes a natural giftedness that's there, even if it's undiscovered, if it's nothing we've really been able to tap into. So capabilities and features in a strengths domain that came into your life without your own doing, something that you're just like, huh, I kind of have a knack for this. Or I'll use my husband as an example. When he was at a point where he had kind of an opportunity to maybe change a career path, we just step back and we're like, what is it that you just kind of naturally find yourself doing without even having to go out of the way and do it? And that's how we ended up in a counseling degree, actually. So just things that you kind of do without having to try necessarily, without your own doing. But that's only the first part of strengths. Then you have to develop an appreciation, a frame of mind that you develop and adopt, reflecting your beliefs and values concerning a strengths domain. And then beyond that, understanding information and understanding you gain by learning about a strengths domain. So learning about any one of these and how to incorporate it into your life. So really a willingness to kind of basically learn and cultivate what maybe is naturally there. And then development, abilities you develop in a strengths domain by repeated practice of the disciplines and actions associated with the dimension. Okay, so something you're willing to commit to, something you're willing to commit time to, sometimes you're willing to commit finances to. I talked about him going into counseling. Well, he couldn't just hang a sign out on our front door and say, Aaron Wall needs counseling services. He had to. He's going through the process of receiving an education and certification and a license. And a lot of times our strengths are something that we are asked to sacrifice to develop in some way. And that's oftentimes where we see what we really feel strongly about is what are we willing to make sacrifices for. So in the kingdom of this world, what it was showing there, it's just how, and I know we've said this before, a lot of times physical and intellectual seem to take kind of front stage, center stage. Whereas in the kingdom of heaven, we already saw some of this. it's a more holistic approach where you have body, soul, spirit, heart, and mind. Your life calling will be impacted by all five domains, and it's more of a holistic approach. Not isolated from each other like this, but more like this. Any questions or thoughts before we...
I like the way they put it. You had this world with two petals of the flower.
Yeah.
And then the kingdom was all five and not the other three.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I like that.
That's very true. Yeah. And I like how he does this because it's even, like the other one's got all these just small little overlapping corners where I love how this is just kind of like all splattered on top of each other. I think it's a little more realistic this way.
Just an observation that I thought of when I first saw this. Biblically, you know, and traditionally, a person is thought of in three realms, body, soul, and spirit.
Right.
And generally, when we talk about soul, we think of three things: emotions, which would be the heart up there; thoughts, which is the mind; and will, which you could think is the soul. So this is very consistent with that. It's just that it has divided the three parts of the soul into three parts. So it's still emotions, thoughts, and will.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good clarification. Yeah, and that's why even when you look at those three, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to tease out the differences between them because there is a lot of overlap.
It's all one person.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Any other thoughts on this?
Just that along those lines, in the Hebrew thought, the inner man and the outer man would also play into that.
Yeah. Yep. There's a strengths quest. They at different times they have some kind of what are they called? Inventories or I can't remember what they're called. But anyway, there's different tests you can take. We're not going to take the time to do that. So what we're going to do now is we'll go ahead and introduce the physical one. We'll start with that. And then we'll have a little fun with that today, I hope. So
and just so we look ahead, because we'll have two Sundays off starting next week, we are now going to look at the five domains that you've been seeing kind of in that flower-looking pattern. So we're going to look first at the physical domain, and then we'll go from there, you know, intellectual, emotional, psychological, spiritual. And that might not be the exact order, but just so you know, that's where we're going. We're kind of going to a deeper, more focused level now on these strength domains.
And to make it meaningful, I mean, you need to... At some point, you have to kind of take a step back and evaluate yourself in light of these domains. And so whether we do this actually in here or I just send some stuff home with you, with each domain, they have like an inventory where you can reflect on that strength, you can reflect on your life, and perhaps notice some areas where maybe you had some strengths that you didn't know. It might just be something you do at home. It might be something we build into our time here. But it's one thing to just talk about it up there, but it's another thing to actually sit down and think about your life and stuff like that. So let's get started here with the physical strengths.
Thank you. series like this called Life Calling on the Beach, the focus is going to be on the beach. And when you think about the beach, you can't help but think about waves. Waves and the beach go hand in hand. It seems like you can't have one without the other. We often categorize waves into one big stereotype of water crashing onto the sand. But there's a lot more than meets the eye when you start looking more closely at waves. Sure, there's the crashing of the water in the waves. I have to keep an eye out for it right here where I'm at. It's fascinating to watch waves break against the rock with all their power. But there's more to waves than just that brute force crashing against the rocks. There's interesting variations. Let me show you what I mean. There is something almost hypnotic about looking at waves. They are hardly ever the same, and there is a graceful beauty in the way they form and then break. I imagine if you could check it out, you'd find that seascapes with their waves are one of the most painted or photographed subjects throughout history. I grew up on the beach, and I remember that every night, the rhythmic sound of waves, like a gifted musician, helped put me to sleep. That music of the waves has soothed human spirits throughout history. Waves are amazing artists, sculpting the shores they encounter. It's fascinating to see the sand patterns they paint with their deposits and erosion. This is similar to some of the physical strengths we can find in Life Calling. Waves are like mechanics who can physically pick up people and propel them forward. It's interesting to see how this works. Let me show you with a couple of illustrations and a simple wave machine. Waves are really formed. Oscillations of energy passing through the water in a methodical pattern. On the diagram, you can see these packages of energy form in a vertical column extending down into the water. You can also see this in the wave machine. Even though it looks like the water is moving from the left to the right, it isn't. It's only the energy package that is moving. With physical strengths in our Life Calling, energy moves through in a wide variety of expressions. Let's look back at waves. On the open water, these energy packages are seen as swells. That is because the vertical package of energy is not tall enough to make contact with the bottom of the ocean, but as the ocean floor nears the shore, it also begins to rise, and somewhere in that upslope, the wave energy column will make contact with the ocean floor and begin to lift up. The bottom of the wave is slowed by the contact with the ocean floor. But the top keeps moving at the same speed it was traveling before contact. Now the vertical column starts to lean forward. When the wave rises to a critical level, the top will fall completely forward in the familiar breakers we most associate with waves. Often it is only when our strengths encounter others that we truly see their full nature. We're out on the Oak Island Pier where we have an interesting view of the waves before they break onto the beach. You will notice that they do not necessarily align parallel to the shore. Instead, they come in at an angle in what is called longshore. They are like graceful Olympians moving sand up and down the beach. They create an intriguing pattern of sand deposit called crossbedding. If you dig down in the sand, you may be able to see this. We have seen in waves artistry, music, beauty, craftsmanship, mechanics, athletic grace, quite a bit more variety than just the brute strength of the breakers. It's easy for us to get hung up on physical strength, thinking it's just brute force, like we did thinking it was just the power of crashing waves when we looked at waves. But just like we found variety and richness in the waves, we'll find a lot of variety in physical strains as well.
Hopefully this has not ruined your future of beach vacations, but there's a lot here.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm trying to decide what order to do things in. Maybe I'll talk through, in a little more depth, the variety of physical strengths that he refers to, and then we're going to do a little activity with some time that we have left, and we'll see where that leaves us. But some of the initial slides here, just each set of slides begins with a review, which I already kind of talked through some of this. So again, in Unique Design, there's this idea of an asset-based approach, focusing more on our strengths and weaknesses, and then eventually, we'll be moving on to passions and experiences. So we're looking at the physical one. Strength in your life that gives your body distinct features and enables you to perform actions with your body. So here are the different areas that he refers to. The first being brute force, which we have up there. I'll read a few. I mean, some of these are more self-explanatory, but the muscular ability that enables people to excel at lifting great weights or exerting great pressure. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's not. But this concept of brute force. Artistry. You guys can't see all the pictures here, but what this person is doing is they are standing by a little creek, and they're painting a picture. So I don't know if you can see her there, but she's got a canvas and she's painting. So obviously, the bodily dexterity that enables a person to arrange colors, forms, materials, or other elements in a manner that affects the sense of beauty, specifically the production of the beautiful in some sort of manifestation. Okay, so hand-eye coordination, things like that. Here you have music. That's a little more... a little easier, the use of the body to produce and manipulate sounds and rhythms. Mechanics, you have the use of the body to manipulate physical objects and machinery to accomplish tasks. This is usually done with a great deal of practice in a synergistic manner that combines the energy of the human with the efficiency of the machine to exceed the capability of either by working by itself. They give some examples: auto mechanics, farmers, office workers, fast food workers, heavy machinery operators, pilots, soldiers. They're all good examples of people who possess mechanical strength. So that would be mechanical. Craftsmanship. Some of these, again, you might think they overlap a little bit. But craftsmanship is bodily dexterity that enables a person to work effectively with the hands or other parts of the body to create exquisite objects. Matt McElhaney's not here today. I think of him often with what he can do with wood or someone like Jonathan. In many cases, this is similar to mechanical strengths, but only it's on a finer scale. Good eye-hand coordination is essential. And then some examples: carpentry, cooking, sewing, landscaping, hairstyling are all good examples. You see how, like, even within that, you know, you think craftsman, you might automatically be thinking carpentry or something, but I love how they have like hairstyling in there. You wouldn't necessarily think of that, or sewing or cooking. So that would be craftsmanship. And then you have oratory, the use of the spoken voice to produce captivating tones and clear articulation. In other words, to speak clearly and sound good. Like the strength of music, many times individuals with this strength are born with voice capabilities that make them adept at speaking. That says, however, if they do not gain knowledge of speaking and practice the skills of speaking, they usually do not progress very far as public speakers. And then some examples, politicians, lawyers, preachers, and teachers are good examples. The next one.
This always cracks me up because the sentence before he says politicians, lawyers, and preachers and teachers, he says people with exceptional physical strengths in the area of oratory are often able to captivate others even when what they say doesn't make much sense. And then he goes politicians, lawyers, preachers, teachers.
The next one, kinesthetics. The coordination and control of bodily positions, weight, muscles, or movement to achieve desired outcomes. We often refer to people who exhibit this strength as being athletic or graceful. Athletes, acrobats, and dancers are good examples. And he just talks about how it takes a great deal of practice. And then this last one is interesting. I had some students who took issue with this, the last one is just physical appearance. And the feature of a person's body that often referred to as good looks. For those of us who do not have this strength, we often are envious of those who do possess it. This is an interesting strength in that it varies by culture and by period. This is because society dictates what constitutes good looks. A misconception with this strength is that it is something a person is born with. And then he goes on, while it is true that some people are born with features that make it easier to develop a good physical appearance, full development of the strength as an effective asset is achieved by intentional acquisition and growth of skills. And then examples, he says, models and actors are good examples of people with strengths and physical appearance. So just a few follow-up points he makes. Few people excel in this domain by pure giftedness alone. He talks a lot about the development of it. And then he reiterates just how there is most cultures in our modern society place greater value on physical strengths than the other domains of all of them. As a result, we end up with a culture obsessed with performance and appearance. This often leads to feelings of inferiority and self-doubt in individuals who do not find their greatest distinction in the strengths domain, which I think we probably would all agree with that. We see that in our culture today, largely social media and just entertainment, what we kind of label as entertainment, those things can oftentimes feed that, those feelings of inferiority and self-doubt. Anyway, I don't think I need to read the rest, but this is kind of the breakdown, the different ways. I remember when we first were talking about physical strengths with my students, a lot of them were like, well, I don't have any. Like, physical strengths, that's not my thing. I'm much more this, or I'm much more that. I'm a good student, I'm not a good athlete. And it was just kind of narrowly focused in like that. And then once we actually went through this breakdown, it was kind of neat, because you could see so many of them be like, oh, wait, like, I actually am good at that. I love sewing, or I love cooking. I never would have thought of that as a physical strength. Or, I really like mechanics. I like working on cars. And so it was kind of neat to see them just, you could see a certain confidence building as they saw, like, oh, wait, this isn't as limited as I thought, and I'm not as limited as I thought. So what I think, I'm going to get you started in an activity, but before we do that, are there any comments or questions or just thoughts that you have initially from seeing these things?
I think it's very encouraging.
Okay.
You know, and the way it's been explained, for me at least, it breaks it down.
Yeah.
And then the notes I take help me to understand that and read it over again.
Good.
It's like a guideline for your whole life.
It does cover a lot. Yeah. We would definitely hope it's encouraging and not discouraging. And what I found is it usually results in being encouraged. Is that a hand up?
No. You're expecting me to say something?
Well, your hand kind of looks like it's up. Kind of doesn't.
I'm resting it. No, okay. I was thinking that. Surprise, surprise. And that's my point, that thinking goes along with this, like the speaking. I just am thinking that what you said earlier is so true. These are not isolated. Mm-hmm. I mean, physical strength utilizes the mind and emotions, and you know, there's such an overlap of all of these.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, and if you think about it, I mean, we joke about politicians and stuff, but in all reality, if you have somebody who's skilled with, you know, oratory, they're a good orator, but they haven't cultivated an intelligence, an emotional intelligence, you know, they're not. It doesn't matter how skilled they are at speaking, they can actually be somebody who just sounds like a resounding gong before long, where you're just like, what are you actually saying? Like, you know, and so, right, they absolutely all incorporate different things, the overlap, so, yeah.
So, therefore, I think all our things that we have a gift for, all of us have a gift, and together, we make it strong and make it, you know, encouraging to everybody.
Yeah.
When there's four more people involved.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah. Just a practical point. In your note packets, if you haven't discovered already, page 16 and 17 are the pages for this specific section. So if you wanted to take notes in there, that'll kind of keep you on track with everything. but by way of an overlap, as an example, Dr. Miller himself, in the book, when he talks about artistry, he uses the example of people like painters, sculptors, photographers, filmmakers, you know, people who possess artistic strengths, which he talks about, you know, the enabling, the ability to arrange colors and stuff like that. But then he goes on to say that people who have this artistic strength are often usually strong in the emotional strength domain as well. And we're not there yet, but it kind of makes sense, because if you think of movies that you see, or music that you listen to, or a painting that you look at, how it can evoke emotion. And so there are some very natural connections to be made here.
And he says here, each of the strengths domains provides a synergism among the other dimensions. You know, I mean, he makes the same point I did.
Yeah.
And I would throw in just one more thing that I often have to emphasize with my students, and it wouldn't be as much of a problem here, I wouldn't think, but you can imagine in a high school classroom, if there is a high school guy who is gifted maybe in music and artistry, that student is not going to feel as, you know, manly as the guy who is the starting quarterback and is like, oh yeah, I have the brute force, you know, and the athletic ability. And so it can seem be almost a shame that can come with some of these strength areas depending on your context or even culture, right? So I would go back to one of the things that was in the PowerPoint earlier when Dr. Miller said that strengths equals gifts, things that God gives to us inherently, like we're born with, but then appreciation. To actually learn to appreciate, hey, you know what, I am artistic, right? I am, you know, gifted in whatever. And that might not fit the typical, you know, whatever typical man or woman or person in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But so what? This is how God has made me, and this is how how I operate and can glorify Him. Yeah. So just to find the freedom in all of that for all of us.
Yeah, that's so very true. I think we probably, to some degree, all face that in our own lives, but I know as a teacher, when you see that among some of your students, it's heartbreaking, because there are some who don't fit the mold, and they have begun to hate in themselves the very things that are actually strengths and gifts, and have been made to feel insecure about them, and to really start to despise them, rather than to be able to celebrate what God has put in them. Aaron and I just had lengthy conversation about a particular student where that's so where he is at right now. and it just breaks your heart. So as we also, as we look kind of inward and evaluate ourselves, this is also an opportunity to look to celebrate in others things that maybe we don't necessarily look to celebrate, or culture doesn't. And our culture is kind of, certain aspects of our culture is kind of taken on, like, oh, well, if somebody's into this, then they're like this, and they kind of pigeonhole certain, you know, people and things, and that's just not the way it should be. So, anyway, what I think I'll do here with the last 15 minutes, we'll see if we have enough time for this. First, I think it's helpful if we kind of get into groups and maybe just talk through some of this, and after we've had some definitions here, excuse my daughter, by the way, I'm sorry.
She's singing.
She's become increasingly vocal these days. Perhaps a future oratory gifted person, I don't know. But what I think would, yeah, if you can kind of talk through this and maybe be like, oh, I never realized it, but I actually think I have a gift, you know, I'm strong here. And sometimes you can also, again, I think a lot of times it's nice to hear from other people who might be like, oh, well, I think you have a gifting in this area. One of the activities that the students do is they go and they talk to their parents, and they talk, I'm trying to think of the category. It's their parent, a teacher, a friend, and a sibling or relative who is younger than you. And they have to ask them some questions about what they see in them. And I know that's always really an encouraging thing for them, because they're like, I never knew that my parents thought I was strong in this way, or that my younger sibling looked up to me in this way. And so we're not going to take time to do that necessarily, but even just in conversation, sometimes areas that we may not look at as a strength, somebody sitting next to us be like, oh, well, I think that's a strength. So first, just talking through it. Now, what Timothy and I had to do when we went through this training, and what I think would be fun if we have time, is after, as we were put in these groups to discuss it, each group had to produce one person who could display a physical strength on the spot. So, that could be you want to stand up and sing. That could be you want to get up here and, we can't draw, you could draw. You could, I'll give you a little cheat, a little help with my group. When we were in training, eventually I was like, well, I can juggle. So I stood up and I juggled 3 apples. It could be, I'm trying to think of other examples. You have some from the classroom. You said a girl sang.
Oh, we had a girl sang one time. A kid who could walk with his hands.
Yeah.
Someone recited a monologue for a tryout, for an audition. Anything in that category. Now, of course, we have limited resources. So if we had, a canvas, maybe you could paint something, but we're limited.
I used to be able to bend my finger the whole way back to the back of my hand. I think that would count if you had that skill. So to do this quickly, so anyway, well, I just take the first couple minutes, maybe talking it through, see if anybody has something real quick that can be shown. Let's do, for the sake of time, I'm just going to count you off. Let's just have some fun with this, really mix things up. I think there's about 20 of you, or so I'll do 4 groups. So I will count, I'll count by fours. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s. Sure. Yes. Twos head back there instead.
It's 4.
And 3s.
We're 3.
2s go back to the bench. It's 4s.
Yeah, you and 4s. I don't know. Cooperative. Physically talented.
I'll leave a slide up if you need to be reviewed of the category.
Where are the 3s? Come 1, come 3. Come on over, Joel. Who's the 3?
So we got the 1, 2, 3.
I think he was.
Domains. So even if you're like struggling, it's okay if you don't feel overwhelmingly strong in any of these areas, because we're still just looking at the physical strengths part. So there's definitely many other domains to consider.
Thank you.
Mixed up.
All right, one more minute.
I've always been told I'm a people Christian, so that's been a And I have a board, and I'm thinking that inside, the very inside, you know, not a really short, it's a board that I've had followed for many, many years. And every night I'm there, my sleep looks like my four on the board. Okay, of course, I can get some jokes, I can top that speed, get some jokes going on. But I have my support. And this forum is called My Freedom. I used to think that freedom is what someone gives to me. Until I found that I was by my nameless, heavy chains, and I could not see. I used to think that freedom is what someone gives to me. Until I found that what I have earned is simply my own freedom. Those locks, chains, bonds, and prisons are things we've come to hate, yet are identical to the ones we have masterfully come to create. I've spent my lifetime waiting for someone to set me free. I could not look. I did not know that in my very pain, I guess it's important to think about your freedom. Things that you do, you want to do, whatever. And this whole spectrum of what we talk about here, where does it start? Someone gives it to you.
This is something that goes back 50 years in my life. For the glory of old state, for her founder strong and great, for the future that we wait, raise the song, raise the song. When we stood at boyhood's gate, shapeless in the hands of fate, thou didst mold us, dear old state, into men, into men. May no act of ours bring shame to one heart that loves thy name. May our lives but swell thy fame, dear old state, dear old state. Down the ladder. The PC police changed the middle verse to, from boyhood's gate to childhood's gate. And then just one line from my high, from my junior high school alma mater. High above the city byways where the world goes by stands our noble alma mater, Van Sickle Junior High.
As the light fades away on yet another day, I focus on these lessons I've learned along the way, the trials and tribulations that were overcame, the moments of bliss that will never be the same. A single stride and a journey emerges like a whirlwind of thoughts displayed in these verses, guided within to find my everlasting treasure. Exulting high over any simple pleasure, patience is virtue when time is on my side, stopping for the roses on this wild ride. Everyone scrambled in to find their little niche, searching for these quick ways to hit it rich, only to realize that there's more to life, only to notice all the pain and strife. Break out of the mold and flamboyantly fly high, limited by the haze of your own cloudy sky. I know I'm headed in the right direction by taking these chances and allowing correction, by keeping my eyes on the prize. Stumbling and rumbling, but proceeding to rise, 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 rise. That's it.
I thought Frankie was going to be beatboxing. I'm slightly disappointed, but...
Really good, too.
All right. Well, was that one that you wrote or no?
Yeah.
He wrote that.
There's a chorus too. I think it goes, shake and bake, just don't be fake. Every day that's just giving, the most I will make.
There we go. All right, well, we did pretty good. We're a little late, but I think it was well worth it. I do wonder what those waiting at the door are thinking as they're hearing all of this. But we will just close out there and move upstairs.